This is the FC Profession Series podcast, a monthly discussion of news relevant to the U.S. Army Finance Corps worldwide, abridged from the FC Profession Series webcast. Here's your host, Sahib Singh.
Hello and welcome to the U.S. Army Finance and Comptroller Profession Series. My name is Sahib Singh and I'll be your host for today's episode. Joining us today are the Honorable Carol Spangler, Assistant Secretary of the Army, Financial Management and Comptroller, and Lieutenant General Paul Chamberlain, Military Deputy to the ASAFMNC. They're joining us for a very special, important conversation on the newly released Fiscal Year 25 campaign plan for the Army's Financial Management Strategy for 2028. So again, thank you both for being over here. Man, I've heard that, you know, we're the only secretariat that actually has, you know, Title 10 responsibility to produce this five-year strategy that's refreshed annually. So if you can, you know, kind of talk to us about that.
If we think about why we do this, we got to start with the why, right? And in the why in this case, this is Section 7022 of Title 10, and it does enumerate my responsibilities as the Secretary for Financial Management and Comptroller. And among those responsibilities are things like oversight of the PPBE process, as well as I have broad authority over financial systems, and not only financial systems, but also inventory and asset management systems, and real property as well. I also have responsibility over the cost analysis part of the organization. And then when we turn inside the Army, I am the functional proponent for the 14,000 members that we have of the financial management community with both the military and the civilian. So it is a broad authority. And when you put that together with then what was done in 2024 from the National Defense Authorization Act and the requirement, the mandate that that gave us to achieve a sustainable audit by 2028, December 31st of 2028, the strategy and then the campaign plan really give us the opportunity to pull those things together, to focus our work efforts, to make sure that we are doing the things that we need to do to prioritize and organize our work as we go forward. And if you listen to the Chief of Staff and the Secretary of the Army and what they talk about, they really talk a lot about transformation. You've got transformation in contact. You've got a lot of stress and modernization programs. We've got a continual threat with the counter-UAS that we're working on. And so we here at FMC, as well as our G8s and the major commands, really have a role here toward working forward and supporting that transformation strategy. If you think about what our FM strategy is, then it really doesn't change much over time. So we know as a community the things that we need to do and what we need to work forward. We put together the campaign plan then so that we can organize the tasks within that. Our strategy has been pretty much the same for the 3 years that I've been here, and I don't see that it really needs to change much, but we need to refresh this campaign plan every year, so that we keep it fresh and so that we can look at new tasks and opportunities we have and how we can really accelerate achievement toward our strategic outcomes. So I'm going to highlight just a couple of the ways that we're driving that transformational change. We focused on a top-down command emphasis on our audit. We are really broadening participation in the functional communities as well throughout the commands on how they look at the audit. Implementing, as you saw in the video, the Resource Manager's Workspace, the RMW, that's in partnership with the entire FM community, and we are really quite dependent on the command G8s to give us their input on that to make that successful. Another thing that we've been doing is we've really increased the use of robotics process automation, as well as heightened the awareness of and the involvement with the OSD Advana system, standing up our own enclave that we call ARES. We've been strengthening our continuous monitoring program as it supports the RMIC program, the Risk Management and Internal Control Program through the Army, and how those have been working together to sustain the audit gains that we make. And we've really done a lot of work on our communication, both by implementing the one-stop shop that we're very proud of to pull together all those different professional development opportunities in the FM community, and how we've also used our senior leaders in a more targeted way to go out and have communications across various other communities. So we'll talk about those things some more, I think, in the next few minutes. And maybe first we'll look toward the governance model.
Yeah, thanks, ma'am. Governance model. So our governance model is really designed as a framework. It's a framework that allows us to really look at those lines of effort. For the Army, the things that are checked are the things that are done. And the governance model is something that is a tool that allows us to do that. We look at it on a monthly basis. We do it quarterly as well. We get together. We do the assessments. The line of effort champions have both tasks and subtasks that are required to be accomplished. We are using dashboards and automation in order to allow us to govern and watch the progress across all of the different lines of effort. And this is what is allowing us to continue to accelerate and move forward at the faster pace that I had just mentioned. I think really, you know, one of the bottom lines is that as we continue to remain focused on achieving all the goals that are outlined in the strategy, that is going to help the Army in many different ways to continue to take care of our people, continue to resource the Army effectively, and ensuring that we are going to have a good trained workforce, leverage data, leverage all of the tools that we have as we continue to move forward in support of not only the mission and vision of yourself, ma'am, for FMNC, but also for the Army in support of our secretary and our chief.
So, you know, has AFMS 28 given you the flexibility you need to make changes necessary, you know, for the FM community? And what changes do you see needing to be made, you know, to the strategy?
It hasn't changed the strategy over the 3 years that I've been here. We looked at it when I first came in 2021, and we did make some adjustments at that point. And one of the things that we really have done here, I think, is focused more on some of the legacy systems than what we had before, because we recognize that to get to that audit milestone date in 2028, that's coming so fast at us that we had to adjust and recognize that we were going to have to do the audit with the systems that we have in place. So what things that we need to change. And so that became our LOE4 as we did the campaign plan. So we've really worked out within the campaign plan the specific tasks and the things that we need to do with the LOE champions to move us toward that broader vision, that strategic vision that we have that's reflected in the strategy.
So, ma'am, you know, how does the strategy and campaign plan impact the individual financial manager, like in the field?
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy for people to see within the strategy how their roles are nested within that. I would urge people, though, I think, to try and take a look more at the details of the campaign plan and the tasks and the things that are within there that are headed up by people here in the office, and look for their opportunities to engage on some of those things, because that really is kind of the work plan of what we're trying to accomplish in the next year or two. So I would say that most of the answers are in there, and they should try and find their role within that campaign plan, I think.
Sir, you kind of referenced the LOEs earlier. What about you? How do you feel that, you know, the strategy and campaign plan impact the individual finance manager in the field as well?
I kind of liken the campaign plan strategy to like a 5-paragraph op order. You know, in a 5-paragraph op order, the first paragraph is situation, second one is mission, third one is execution, the fourth one is support, and the fifth one is command and control. And what that's designed to do is to make sure everybody's on the same sheet of music. It's designed to ensure that everything that we are working towards is coordinated. You know, a 5-paragraph op order, you know, situation, what is the big picture? What is happening that has caused us to have to take a certain action? And the action is, okay, the mission, what is the objective? What are we going to achieve? 3rd paragraph execution is, how do we do that? You know, and within the 3rd paragraph, it talks about what you're supposed to do, what your next headquarters is going to do, what the second highest or the next higher headquarters is supposed to do. So 2 up, and you're also supposed to know what's going on with the, you know, the unit, your subordinate unit within your command. What's happening with the units to the left and the right? What are those coordinating instructions that ensure that everybody is talking with one another to make sure that you're going to achieve the objective? And then what resources do you need? That's the support. What is that going to take? Is it going to be additional people? Is it going to be additional, perhaps, overview and oversight? Is it going to be perhaps additional systems, or maybe how do we leverage data better? And then, of course, somebody has to put all that together in an organized, hierarchical organization in order to ensure that everything is accomplished. So I look at it as a five-paragraph op order, and if we do it that way, I think each of our individuals out there, regardless if they're military, civilian, enlisted, or officers, they can see where they fit in that.
So I have to ask you, sir, you know, with your recent, you know, travels, right, outside of the building and, you know, going all over, representing the Army and obviously the FMNC community as well, you know, what are some of the things that, you know, you've been able to kind of see firsthand and bring that to the building and, you know, kind of relay that back?
And what I'm seeing is a lot of dedicated, committed individuals and organizations who are working hard to get us to an auditable level. But I'm also seeing some of the challenges that are out there where we've got to ensure that we are using and following our own SOPs, our own policies, and using proper procedures, documenting those procedures, and then having the ability to have a follow-up. And, you know, as I mentioned, things that get checked are the things that get done. So, you know, how do we take what I've learned and incorporate that into the CARE program as we have adapted CARE to help us with looking at audit and achieving the auditability that we need?
Ma'am, you know, with our strategy, right, as we continue to move forward, obviously the different stakeholders and organizations are going to play a key role. You know, this year's plan emphasizes the importance of, you know, greater inclusion within the FM community. So how is that being implemented at the operational level?
So we have, I don't know how many people out there online are aware that we have a regular meeting, a quarterly meeting of our G8s out in the field. We call it the Senior Executive Committee, and we get together quarterly to talk about issues going on in the Army. So we have used that forum quite extensively in trying to build this campaign plan, trying to solicit the input from the different G8s out in the field of what they need for the entire FM community to be successful. And I think that's been very helpful. We also, beyond that, we have been really working with the schoolhouse as well as the FIMCOM in terms of those elements of the community and what they need so that we really get full integration into this campaign plan of what we need across the waterfront. We've also done some work with our senior enlisted committee, and I'll let General Chamberlain talk about that some more too, so that we are really trying to reach out and encompass the entire workforce, the 14,000 or thereabouts number of people we have with between military and civilian, and make sure that this plan is representative not just of what the ASA FMNC organization needs to do, but what the Army needs to do. So that's where I think we've done a pretty good job reaching out on to the different communities to do that.
And ma'am, since you brought up the Senior Enlisted Integrated Committee, I'll just jump on that right now. You know, Sergeant Major Anderson came to me and said, "Sir, I think we need to have this committee." Any number of our sergeants major out there had identified a need for this, primarily because there's a lot of great ideas and good ideas coming in. And, you know, how do we organize and address those good ideas? The best way to do it is to take, you know, some of our most senior NCOs, those with the most experience, those who have seen any number of different scenarios within our financial management community and across the Army, bring them together in some sort of structured organization, some sort of structured committee to have those conversations and the discussions. I thought that was a great idea. I fully endorsed it. Sergeant Major Anderson has grabbed that and has since put together the SEIC. The first meeting of the SEIC was done virtually. It was, I think, May of this past year. They had a series of other virtual meetings, I think a total of about six or so of them. You know, and that's really leading up to what's going to culminate into a SAR Major Symposium in January. If I remember correctly, I think a Save the Date went out for late January. I think there'll be a new updated time frame. It's probably instead of late January, it'll be in early January. Don't hold me to these dates, but I think it's 7 to 10 January. But there will be an update that comes out to help with one, the invitations, the planning, but that's going to be a great forum for us to get feedback from our enlisted force with what's going on in the field and how can we at the headquarters enterprise level help to provide the resources or the guidance or things that we may need to do that will help out in the field.
As you've talked about this, at the campaign plan, you keep referencing the 14,000 across the community, right? Obviously, that's within the CP-11. And then for the military, this is also across, Compo 1, 2, and 3, right? So, sir, I had heard that SAR Major had also started an initiative with some senior NCOs developing some kind of plan for the future. If you wanted to talk about that a bit.
In years past, we had predominantly only the career map for the officers. And the question that Matt Spagler and I had is, well, where's the career map for the entire force? And because we work so closely with our civilians and our NCOs, shouldn't those career maps be integrated? Not necessarily nested, because I it's probably a little bit too much of a challenge to nest them, but certainly integrate it to where it makes sense. There is some overlap and there is that continued development for both all of our civilians, military, to ensure that where the opportunities present itself, the training, the OJT, I'm a big fan of, on-the-job training, that those opportunities are coordinated so that we can take advantage of them. The enlisted professional guide, I think that is in support of what our chief of staff of the Army has really started championing here over the course of the last 12 or 18 months, which is reminding folks of the standards and the basics, and that getting back to the basics and doing the basics really, really well sets the bar tremendously high if we just do what we're supposed to do and do it well.
And I guess I'm sort of closing us out by saying that not only are we really proud of the workforce, but we are proud of some of the things that we've been able to accomplish in these last few years. I think we really have done a great job with improving communications kind of throughout the FM community, as well as we've made some great strategic partnerships with the CIO office, with OEM, the Business Process Office, as well as with FIMCOM, the schoolhouse, the FCC, to improve that communication. The AIEC has been able to reach out to these other functional communities. We've done a great job, I think, with getting other people to understand that the audit really is not a G8 thing. It's an Army thing, and that the audit results will show themselves. If everybody does their routine things routinely and keeps their evidence of it, the audit will prove out itself. And we will be able to sustain it when we get there through things that we've done with the ARMIC program and with continuous monitoring and making it easier. I also think that people out there really have great opportunities to join in with some of the things that we're doing, both by looking at what we've got here in the campaign plan, volunteering for those opportunities, looking within their own commands too, for ideas that they have for innovation, taking them up through their senior leadership, through the SEC councils, and other things that we do, and bringing those to us to be a part of what we're doing here from the headquarters level. So I guess I don't have too much else to say. We're going to continue to try and accelerate these opportunities for people. We're including things with PPBE reform this year in the campaign plan. There are opportunities for RMW for people to participate in that, as well as to participate in EBSC as we build the future for the community. And we are looking forward to having an exciting next year. That's all I have to say.
Again, appreciate you both coming online with your busy schedules and giving the community an hour of your time and just kind of getting us abreast with the information on where we're moving towards in the future. For the audience members, again, you can go on the ASAFM and see website, and you can get the links to the strategy. Again, thank you once again for tuning in, and we're looking forward to seeing you all next month on with some new guests as well. So just support and serve. Thank you. Have a safe week.
If you would like to see the full-length video of this presentation, simply follow the Divids link in the description.